We thank you for your word. We thank you for this chapter that we're about to look into here in the book of Revelation. Chapter 13, the two beasts, the world dictator and the religious leader. We ask your blessing on it. Father, there is so much here. Please help me to appeal to clarify this study that we're going to be looking at. And I just pray that you would be glorified in and through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, when the seventh trumpet of Revelation was blown, we were introduced to seven different characters. We saw five of them in chapter 12. The woman, speaking of Israel, the red dragon, who is identified as Satan, the child of the woman, Jesus, Michael the archangel, and then we have the remnant of Israel, the 144,000 who were sealed by God. Here in chapter 13, we're given the final two. The beast out of the sea, who is both a political power and a person. And the second beast out of the earth, who is the religious leader. So we're going to go ahead and read these 18 verses. Then I stood on the sea, sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And it deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This is radical. This is what we have going on in the last part of the 7-year Great Tribulation period. So John is watching as Satan brings this beast out of the sea. And in Scripture, the sea is a picture of the nations of the world. It's a picture of mankind. Here's what we need to keep in mind. The first beast is the person who will head up the old Roman Empire. It's understanding Daniel's prophecy, Daniel in the Old Testament. As you study Daniel chapter 7, you find this beast in Revelation is similar in the description to the fourth beast in Daniel. There it represents the prophetic history of the Roman Empire down to the little horn and his destruction. That fourth beast looked like it was nothing for a little while. And then out of one of its seven heads, there came up 10 horns, out of which came a little horn. Now you're probably thinking, what are you talking about, Rick? Well, this little horn put together three of the horns and was able to take the other seven. Now, at the time of John writing this, a lot of Daniel's prophecy had already been fulfilled. The first three beasts were Babylon, the lion, Medo-Persia, the bear, and Greco-Macedonia, the panther. All three of these had been fulfilled. When Daniel gave it, it was prophecy. There in Daniel chapter 7. But by John's time, it was already fulfilled. So here John is focusing on the fourth beast and the little horn, because the fourth beast, the Roman Empire, had come about. John was living in those days. Here's the mind blower. John was actually living in the time of the Roman Empire. He had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos by the Roman Emperor Domitian. Already in John's day, there were signs of weakness and decay that were visible in the Roman Empire. So here in chapter 13, the emphasis is on the rule of this little horn of Daniel chapter 7. I would encourage you to read Daniel chapter 7 to get an idea of this little horn. So the little horn is set before us as a beast because he's now ruling and controlling the restored Roman Empire in John's prophecy. So this little horn of Daniel 7 and the beast of Revelation chapter 13 are the same. That's why we need to understand Daniel chapter 7 in order to understand this passage that we are studying. The 10 horns with 10 crowns speak of the tenfold division of the Roman Empire in the time of the Great Tribulation period. Revelation chapter 17 verses 12 and 13 says, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." The little horn comes to power by first putting down three of these rulers. After that, he rules the other seven. And in doing so, he becomes the next and last world dictator before Christ returns to set up his millennial kingdom, his 1,000-year kingdom. The seven heads are a little harder to identify, but they are interpreted in Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10. Here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Satan is going to empower the man of sin, the last dictator, and all seven heads will be guilty of blasphemy. Now, blasphemy manifests itself in two ways. First, by making oneself equal with God, that is, taking God's place. Secondly, by slandering and taking God's name in vain. Blasphemy. History shows the emperors of Rome were guilty of making themselves equal with God. They became like God. The entire Roman Empire worshiped them. The Pharisees were guilty of slandering and taking God's name in vain when they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. This beast is going to be guilty of both. But even though the man of sin will be one of the toes of the image Daniel saw, made up partly of clay and partly of iron, he will rule with the authority of Nebuchadnezzar as a dictator. This final world dictator will come to his rise under the domination of Satan. The source of his power is from Satan, who will raise him up and empower and energize him for the job that he is about to do. Some have taken the position the beast is actually raised from the dead by Satan. Well, we know Satan doesn't have the power to raise the dead. This will be a fake or false resurrection, especially because Rome never died. Rome fell apart from the inside. They weren't taken over by an army. They fell apart from the inside. So he's going to receive a head wound. We don't know if it's going to be an assassination attempt on him. We don't know if it's going to be a suicide type thing. We don't know what it is. But it's going to look like a false resurrection. See, the Roman Empire will be revitalized. It's going to be run by this world dictator, the beast, who will exhibit a counterfeit and imitate a resurrection. This will be the great delusion, the big lie of the great tribulation period, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. The verse, "and his deadly wound was healed," it shows the blasphemous imitation of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, nobody can or ever will be able to duplicate the resurrection of Christ. This is what's so amazing. The Antichrist is going to imitate it in such a way that it will fool the entire world. The entire world. The rider on the white horse, Revelation chapter 6. He brought a false peace to the world. The Antichrist who rode to begin the Great Tribulation period that kicked off the 7 years. You see, in man's recorded history, man has been involved in 1,500 wars and has signed some 8,000 peace treaties. Yet in man's entire history, think about this, man has only had between 200 to 300 years of true peace. Well, up to this point, Antichrist has headed a 10-nation European league. But now he's about to rule as Satan's world dictator. Daniel mentions the Antichrist is going to promise anything and everything because he's going to have a lot of charisma. This guy is going to have so much charisma when he comes on the scene. The whole world's going to go after him. Makes me think about that. This is how far the beast will go in blasphemy. Notice he's against Christ and his church, which are in heaven. You know, I'm telling you, I just can't see how anyone who studies the book of Revelation can believe the church is going to go through the great tribulation period. These saints are those who will be saved during the tribulation period. I mean, God is going to allow them to be overcome by the beast. It's going to be a horrific time. I don't know who would want to live in this time period. This means in the will of God, many believers, both Jew and Gentile, will suffer being killed. I mean, they will literally be martyred. People who are living during this time will not be able to buy or sell without the permission of Antichrist. That means those who have given their lives to Christ will not be able to resist him. They'll be killed. There's no way around it. There's no other way around it. The first beast comes out of the sea and represents the peoples of the world from which this second beast comes. It's symbolic of Palestine, Israel. So it's naturally assumed the second beast comes from Israel and will be known as their Messiah. We also know there is no way Israel would ever accept him unless he came from their land and was Jewish. John mentions, and he had two horns like a lamb, which speaks of his imitation of Jesus Christ. Now, remember this. The first beast is opposed to Christ. He is Antichrist. But this second beast will try to imitate Christ, even though he's also Antichrist. He makes himself out to be the Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said? To beware of, as he warned people, that in the latter days many would come saying, I am he. Jesus said, do not believe him. He doesn't come to do his own will. He comes to do the will of the first beast. And because he's a counterfeit Christ, he will pull off a lot of things that will deceive the entire world. They're going to be blown away. You see, it's this second beast who will lead the world in a movement to destroy the harlot of Revelation chapter 17. That's the name used for the false church during the Great Tribulation period. John won't even give it any honor. He just flat out calls it a harlot. It's the harlot's false prophet who will offer the world something new to worship. And that's going to be the first beast, the man of sin, this world's last dictator. Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 to 39. He begins his rise to power as part of a European coalition. He's the little horn who emerges from the ten horns. Keep your eyes on the Middle East and Europe. He solves the Arab-Israeli problem. He proves himself to be a master politician. And in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, he will break that covenant, claim world control, and set himself up as God. The Antichrist, of course, will be an atheist. He will reject all religions except the one he establishes when he declares himself God. So what is his God? It's a God of might. It's a God of military power. His greatest sign will be the abomination of desolation mentioned by Daniel in Daniel 9:27, Daniel 11, verse 36, by Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 15, and by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. What is this abomination of desolation? It's the image of the beast that will be set up in the third temple that is soon to be built in Jerusalem. You see, since Satan couldn't command worship in heaven, and God kicked him out of heaven, he's going to go to the next best place, the Jewish temple in the holy city, Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 to 14. Everyone except believers, Revelation 20, verse 4, will receive a special mark in order to buy or sell. The only way to get that mark, I want to be extremely clear about this, the only way to get that mark is to submit to the beast and worship him. It's not some vaccine like what is going around saying it is. It's something that the person will submit to. He's going to submit to the Antichrist, and he's going to worship the Antichrist. That's the way you get the mark. We do know when the beast comes, those who have been enlightened will recognize him by the number of his name. And you know what? If you think about it, the satanic trinity can't claim the number seven. Seven is what? Perfection, completion. So they have to settle for the number of man, which is six. 666. Some of you might know there's a huge building in Brussels, Belgium that is said to be able to put a number on every person on the face of the earth and keep track of them wherever they are. Ironically, they've named that building the Beast. Amazing. Revelation 13 gives a lot of insight into what the Great Tribulation is going to be like. One world government, one world religion, and a one world economic system. Those who resist this ruler and refuse to worship him will be executed. As we're going to see, they're going to have their head cut off. The ironic thing is, the martyrs might just outnumber the believers who survive. It will be Satan's final and ultimate attempt to cause the world to worship him, to turn them from the worship of the true God and from Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's clear the dream of a world getting better and better through Christian effort and gospel preaching, it's not supported in the Bible. Instead, the final form of world religion will be apostate, satanic, and blasphemous. There are signs today the world is heading in this direction. And the conclusion is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is very, very near. You see, God acts in love. He gives people freedom to choose to follow him. But Satan acts in hatred. He forces people to surrender their freedom to him. According to Revelation 12, verse 12, Satan knows his time is short. That's why we're going through trials today. That's why we're going through the many, many challenges every day in a greater and more terrible way. But the good news, and I'll finish with this, Jesus Christ, who dominates Revelation, is about to do battle with his enemies, and he's going to win. In fact, the battle's already been won. It's already been won. Next time, we're going to look at chapter 14. We're going to hear from heaven and the battle of Armageddon. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us. I know this is tons to take in and swallow. There's so much here. I could have went on for 3 hours in teaching on these two beasts. But Father, I pray that we would understand what is being taught here. This is how it's going to roll. This is how it's going to work out, God. Thank you, Father, that our names are written in your book of life. Thank you that we're not going to be here for any part of this. The harlot system will. The Jezebel system will be here. John doesn't even honor these religious institutions by calling them church. The true church is with Jesus in heaven. And we just thank you for your goodness. Go before us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.